Hello, I'm Luke Remington, Managing Director of the House & House Group. Welcome to Dubai Real Estate Unplugged. Today we're going to be talking about commercial. So I've got our commercial team members here from House & House, Daniel and Robin. We're going to be talking to them about the difference between renting and selling your commercial property and what they're seeing in Dubai. What's going on in the high parts? What's going on in the low parts? We've talked a lot about leasing. We've talked a lot about sales. We've talked a lot about off-plan. We've talked about the madness. But we haven't really touched on commercial. And Dubai has a very large commercial space. Robin, our commercial manager, he has been in the real estate space commercial-wise for 10 years. Robin, thank you for joining us. Tell me a bit about yourself.
I'm the head of commercial from House & House, as you know. And I've been in the market for more than 10 years doing mostly commercial real estate in Dubai. And I have seen the cycles of commercial real estate as such for the last 10 years. There has been a lot of supply in the market. If you look at 5 years back, but today the supplies keep going down and down. And then there are a lot of cycles that I have seen in terms of investors from different places of the world. Personally, myself, I prefer to deal with companies and do more of a business-to-business real estate. So I've been doing this for a long time, and I feel that I'm more of a facts person rather than being emotional. With, let's say, in residential, people are a little bit emotional when they take a house or when they want to rent it or maybe sell it. But in commercial, it always comes to numbers and the more of a purpose to it, what exactly they want. And the skill set is completely different than any other residential brokers that you would need. And that is where I felt like I fit in a lot. And I love dealing with business, especially with companies and company CEOs or their personal assistants or the managing directors of many corporations.
Yeah.
So that's one of the key things that keep me going with commercial.
It's quite interesting. Daniel, welcome. You graduated construction management degree from Glasgow Caledonian University. You've worked on some really interesting projects. I know Expo 2020, Abu Dhabi Airport. You've been with the company for a long time. Tell me a bit about those projects, Daniel. It's quite interesting. I'm sure a lot of the world has probably heard about the Expo. And they've heard about, Al Maktoum Airport, Abu Dhabi Airport. What's it like for you as a commercial agent?
Yeah, so when I first came to Dubai, I would call that I sort of won the golden ticket there, and spent a lot of time with construction experts in a consultancy. So I didn't actually go into construction management at first. I went into a consultancy where I just mainly handled contracts, and we worked towards claims for extension of time, disruption, delays, that sort of thing. So that job took me around to different projects. For example, the Expo, I worked in one of the pavilions with Arabtech at the time. And, it took me to the Cherrywood, La Rosa. It took me to the Abu Dhabi Airport a bit. And as I went through that process of career, I was meeting people from commercial, real estate. They're everywhere. And I was just felt a bit inspired, to be honest. I always had that bit of entrepreneurial spirit myself. And I thought, when in Rome, take the leap of faith. So I met one of the previous managers of House & House, and she had a lot of influence in what was going on. And, I just felt it. I thought, I'm going to take the dive. I'm going to do this. And, I haven't regretted it. Mm-hmm. It's been a big learning curve, but I agree with Robin. In comparison to residential, it's a bit more of a roller coaster when you're dealing with certain companies. Like one day you're dealing with startups, and then the next day you're dealing with the CEO of some massive corporation. So definitely interesting. You never know who's going to be on the other side of that phone.
You sit around a lot of residential negotiators. You both do. You're in an office. There's 100 brokers. There's a team of commercial. There's a team of a larger team of residential. Mm-hmm. You see the numbers that people are doing. You read the headlines. Are you seeing a big difference between residential and commercial in terms of residential's just gone boom? What are you seeing in the commercial space?
I think for commercial space, as a broker personally, it does take a bit more time for us to hit the ground and run.
Are you hearing the same? Are you seeing the same kind of things?
I would say there's just as amount of potential in commercial as there is in residential, definitely.
And what would be, guys, what would be the main difference from, you know, if I came to you, Robin, and I said, right, I've just bought my property, I've brought my family over, I now want a commercial space. What are you going to be, am I going to expect to have a similar kind of route A to Z, like I had with residential, with commercial? Is it going to be a similar kind of structure, contract signing, to fight, you know, this kind of stuff? Is it similar?
It is kind of similar. However, the process is a bit different in terms of licensing and where you want to be in Dubai, because Dubai has a lot of free zones as well as something called mainland license, which comes from Dubai Economic Department. Now, it completely depends on your business, where you want to establish it, and obviously in which location you would like to be. The process, in terms of the process, you have to make sure you're paying, you're registering with the FTA for the VAT registration, and also you have to have a right company formation company so that they can prepare all your documents and do the paperwork for establishing a company itself in Dubai.
So would you advise that I establish the company before I start speaking to you, or do I start speaking to you before I establish company?
No, basically the first thing you must do is either you have to speak to a real estate professional like us, or you have to speak to a company formation company, so who can help you out with where you can put your location and establish business.
Because we're not going to jump in and do these documentations for you. We've been through the process with other clients, right? So we can advise you on who you can contact, and we are pretty well connected at this point in time to say, yes, talk to this person, talk to that person. They can help you out with this and that. And yeah, since we've been through the process 100 times, it's a job, then we can advise in that, definitely.
Okay, so I decided, you know, I've got a certain kind of business, I'm going to sell electronics or something, and I'm going to say to you, I'm looking in this area. Mm-hmm. You're going to say to me, I can do that area, I can't do that area, can I just do any commercial business in any part of Dubai?
You can, but let's say, as you mentioned, you're going to sell something like electronics, or it's going to be a trading company. So it depends on you where you would like to keep your business, because most of the electronic companies that I have seen, they all like to be in data side.
Okay.
However, if it's a trading company and you're doing most of the business outside the country, then obviously you would prefer yourself to be in Business Bay or similar areas where you can do business.
If you're distributing these devices, or if you want to sell it front of shop, then that will be a great comparison. I wouldn't put you in a warehouse in the middle of DIC if you plan on selling face-to-face customers.
Okay. So what I'm getting the feeling of is, depending on what I want to do, I may have an opinion that, okay, I want to open an office and I want to be close to the Burj Khalifa, because I've just come and everyone's heard the Burj Khalifa, and we know we've got the biggest mall, or one of the biggest malls in the world there. We've got, you know, a lot of talk about downtown. Would you be saying to me, that just doesn't make sense?
No, as I mentioned, it completely depends on business. For example, if you're client-oriented, when I say client-oriented, the clients are coming to your business, and you want to have a little bit of show-off office or a glamorous office just to, you know, impress your clients, or just to show that, yes, you are sitting next to Burj Khalifa, for example.
Yeah.
You would definitely end up taking an office in Boulevard Plaza, for example.
Yeah? Okay.
And obviously the price varies, because the location is prime real estate and you're looking at a higher price. But then, yes, that would be the key location that you would be identifying it. And
Okay.
When we have those initial talks with you, if you say, yeah, I want this Burj Khalifa view in downtown or whatever, I say, how many staff have you got?
Yeah.
And if they told me we've got 40 people, I says, and do they all live around this area? What kind of staff have you got? And they say, yeah, most of them take the metro. Then I'd take that into consideration. And downtown, you have got those connections near the metro, but if they were looking for a place in Dubai Hills, for example, I'd say you've got 40 people who don't have transport.
You're listening to Dubai Real Estate Unplugged by House and House, award-winning property agency in Dubai.
Okay, so you're looking into quite a lot of detail for the clients. What about, you know, I've been hearing stuff about, you know, starting restaurants and, you know, electricity supplies. And, you know, this is what I think a lot of clients probably wouldn't understand, but would hope that the commercial agent does have a really good understanding. Okay, well, you may want that kind of restaurant. Mm-hmm. You've also got to understand that you need a certain power supply to be able to feed it. Is there a lot of technicality in what you do?
It sounds technical, but it's not really. So at the end of the day, depending on the size of shop or whatever and what they're cooking, most restaurants will need a gas connection. If they don't get gas, they'll need more power. Okay. And they're always going to need like water and drainage. So when you talk to the landlord saying, say, have you got gas? Yes. Have you got power? How much? Have you got water and drainage? Yes. Okay. There's your specs, Mr. Restaurant Owner.
Yeah.
Does this work for you?
Yeah.
And he'll do his design. He'll have some engineer or something with the kitchen equipment that requires this much, and they'll sort that out themselves, won't they? As long as we get the specs or,
yeah,
you know, the information for them, then it shouldn't be an issue.
Like also, in most cases, the landlord themselves, they know that what sort of approval they have for the retail space itself. So they can straight away say that this would be a perfect place for restaurants. So if you have any sort of restaurant concept, send it over and we will see if we can, you know, approve this concept for, let's say, for this mall, and then we can take it over from there. And when we say that it's approved for the restaurant, most of the restaurants need a similar power range. It's very easy to adapt that. For example, yeah, if something is a little bit lesser in the mall, they can supply more, yeah, from the other places.
The biggest obstacle I usually see with restaurant spaces isn't really to do with the power, gas or water. It's actually the aircon and, like you said, yeah, the approvals. Where is the extraction going to go? Because yeah, if you're in the mall, then they'll have a section for restaurants and food and beverage. But if you're in just a random unit in the middle of Marina Walk, then where is the extraction going? What's legal? What's not? Mm. How much air can this extract itself?
Yeah.
And if it's actually suitable for F&B.
So are you saying that you've got, if someone's opening a restaurant, uh-huh, you've got a lot more work to do in terms of advice than if I say, I just want an office?
You've got, yeah, definitely. You've just got to make sure and ask the right questions, because when I first started doing commercial real estate, I was running around a lot of units and I didn't know this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I would take any food and beverage client to the next unit and I wouldn't really be in touch with the specifications of that unit. And if I'd just knowing the question that they needed to ask, then I could have said, actually, don't look at it.
Yeah.
Because
it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You're looking at something that you actually can't do.
Some people want it straight from the horse's mouth, though. Like, yeah. Sometimes they've got to see it to believe it. But yeah, there's if they come prepared with the right questions, then they would definitely save a lot of time.
What would you say people don't know about the commercial property market? What would you say is a common question that you tend to get, whether you get a client looking for a warehouse, whether you get them looking for a restaurant? Is there anything that seems to be particularly common that maybe clients can, you know, we can give clients a bit of information now, or they can, you know, put this forward to a commercial broker if they're looking? Anything they don't seem to understand? To start with, Robin?
There are a few things, to be honest. One is the licensing itself. Because most of the clients that we receive, especially I and Daniel, we work mostly in downtown office spaces. So most of the clients we see are like looking for prestigious office, obviously sitting next to Burj Khalifa or something, very fancy office. So we do advise them, look, obviously Bolivar Plaza is one of the thing, but then you got DIFC as well, which is fantastic. However, you need DIFC license, and to get the DIFC license, you have to go through a process. It takes a little bit time, more than a mainland license. So that's one thing. And second thing is VAT. VAT is something when people are purchasing office or selling the office, this is something not many of the agents or many of the Dubai land department also doesn't talk anything about it, but this is something mandatory by the buyer, which has to be, you know, provided to the FTA before even purchasing any office.
Sorry, what, just explain more on that. That you're saying that the client needs to pay VAT on, yes, what? Yeah.
So once
on the purchase price.
Purchase price.
Yeah. All commercial property, if you buy a commercial property and you rent that to someone, then they've got to pay VAT to you.
Yeah.
But you, as the landlord, should be VAT registered.
Okay.
You should have a tax certificate.
Okay.
And when you buy more property, that seller should have that. And during the transfer, or just after, or just before, whatever, they should invoice the buyer,
yeah,
for this fact.
Okay. Interesting. Lots that goes into it. What have you seen, guys, over with the market You know, we know a lot about residential, but what have you seen? Is it crazy? Do you have a lot of supply? Is it easy to get commercial property? To put, regardless of what I want, is it everyone's saying residential is difficult to find. What are they saying about commercial?
I would say, and Robin, I'm going to leave this to you once I make this statement, but supply is pretty low when it comes to like furnished and ready to go offices that are in good nick.
Yeah,
supply is low.
Okay.
Well, as you know, almost 80% of the supply in Dubai is mostly residential, and others you might see a lot of shopping malls. But in terms of offices, I would say just 15 to 20% is offices.
Right.
So the supply is currently absolutely low. So there is nothing available. As a, if I want something which is ready to go and fully furnished as a nice office, it's very difficult to find. We don't have anything.
So what are you saying to people then? If I want an office, you can't say there's nothing
available. It's competitive. I'm not going to tell someone that it's impossible. They definitely can't.
Definitely. Yeah.
I said, but I'll make sure that they're prepared to make quick judgment, and you know, we can make this as smooth as possible. In most cases, for high turnover areas that just are constantly moving, like Business Bay and JLT, these offices, if they're good, they're gone in the next week or two.
Is it kind of as the residential market picks up, you guys find that the commercial market picks up? Kind of, do they tend to trend with one another?
Definitely. I mean, it both supports each other. I mean, without commercial, without business coming in, obviously there won't be any demand for residential, because a lot of businesses are coming in here, people are coming in. Then the residential is getting filled. So that is how it works. And commercial, as you said, like the demand for residential and commercial, it went together, basically.
Number one area for commercial at the moment. Where are people searching? Where's the number one area?
Depending on what the client is willing to spend, there's the top towers in Business Bay.
Okay.
And downtown.
Okay.
Sheikh Zayed Road.
Well, as Daniel said, I mean, it depends on the number of staff and their budget, and is it a startup business or a high-end business? It depends on all these factors. However, the prestigious buildings, if you look at only few buildings are like A-grade, and it's fantastic in terms of taking any offices over there, like Boulevard Plaza, Ima Square, Marina Plaza, Opus Tower. These are beautiful buildings.
Yeah.
However, there is nothing available for rent which is like fully furnished or ready to go in right now, because the demand is so high that anything comes up within 2 days, we are renting it, or some other agencies are renting it out immediately.
So you're saying things are going within 24-48 hours?
Yes.
And there's towers that we stick to that we know that there's stock in there that is good, and if you've got an established business, then it's almost perfect for you. Obviously, once we get down to the prices that are best for them, we will pick the tower accordingly.
Yeah.
And
when you say them, you're talking the clients.
The client, if it's someone who's looking for an office space.
Yeah, okay. We were talking actually about Boulevard Plaza before we went on air. You have a client that's considering selling. Or they're considering renting. We know the rental market is booming. We know the sales market is booming. We know that there's lots of people coming in, and we know there's lots of people looking to establish business. If I have a commercial property, what advice are you giving me as a landlord? Do I rent or do I sell?
We talked about this yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah.
If we were concluding that if a landlord was planning on selling it for a considerable amount of time, say 5 years, they were planning on selling this unit, and they're thinking about doing it today, then we said, yeah, do it, sell it now. The prices are healthy, they're quite high. You would get good money for your unit, but also it's a good time to rent as well. I think we've seen in Boulevard Plaza specifically that the influence the lack of supply has had on the prices in that building is getting close to record breaking.
Yeah.
So you would definitely make a good return on your investment.
Okay.
If you were to rent that property at a fair price.
Okay.
Follow House and House on social media, and don't miss a beat of Dubai's vibrant property market.
So you're kind of basically saying you've got two very good options, but potentially if you're going to offload, you can still probably Absolutely. See price growth, but you know, you can find a very good tenant who's going to pay you a premium.
Exactly. I mean, it's both the ways. It is very healthy for the landlord or the owner themselves.
Yeah.
They can make money either way, and they can think of whatever options they have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the market. We call it as a seller's market mm-hmm. when it comes to this, because since the demand is so high, so we can demand any sort of amount and people are ready to pay for if the property is really nice and it is, you know, you pay for the product.
Okay. One thing that interests me, or one thing that I saw that, and I'm not in the commercial space, I don't see a huge amount. I don't look into it enough depth, but we came out of that COVID era and the whole world is talking about working from home. Were you at home thinking commercial's dead? It's not going anywhere. People are working from home. People don't want to go to the offices. People on Zoom. What am I going to, I'm going to be flipping into a residential agent? Did this ever cross your mind, or is it just me thinking it?
I joined, funnily enough, just as the sort of, what would you say, restrictions were loosening. That's when I joined House and House Commercial, and that was pre-expo as well. So I think during that time, just sort of, just as restrictions were loosening, for me, I was calling up the retailers and saying, expo's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be here?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want, and that seemed to help us a lot. That itself was bringing in, it was like hope as well for hospitality.
Okay.
was expo. But for offices in Dubai, yeah, people work from home and they were told to stay at home mm-hmm. immediately. But just after that, when things started listening, everyone was just back in office again.
Yeah.
And they followed the rules and regulations, like screens or masks at work and, you know, washing your hands. Here's dispensers everywhere. Just try not to get it, yeah? And we didn't really evolve like that in Dubai. Still, people are still quite traditional work office.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, give me 12-month prediction. Real estate, residential are saying it's going to continue to boom. What are you saying that predictions for the next 12 months in commercial space?
I would say that it is going upwards for the next 12 months in terms of price, in terms of demand. It is going to be just the way.
Because you just have a really, really difficult amount of supply. We were sorry, I'll just cut into this, because we've seen a lot of projects released that are predominantly focused on residential. Okay. So we know there's going to be residential units coming over. They're going to be handed over tail end, or there's going to be a lot coming, say, end of 2024. Are people focusing? Were the developers focusing on commercial?
No, that's one of the thing. I mean, as well as we are aware, we know that there are many more shopping malls might be coming over due to the new areas expansion. And
well, when it comes to mainland, it's a different story. But we know that some of the big free zone developers are producing some good projects. For example, House and House has been very well involved with Dubai Commerce City, which they're producing this full e-commerce solution. You can get your office spaces there. You can get your warehouses as well. And then they've got these, what do you call, all-inclusive systems. There's a word for it. It's like the packaging system.
Okay.
But that project's doing very well.
Okay.
And they are still developing commercial spaces, more and more so. But again, that would be a Dubai Airport free zone license.
Yep.
And it's not exactly mainland. It's not exactly near the inner city where corporate companies who have staff around here would prefer tends to be the center of Dubai.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you ever so much. If anyone is interested in commercial property, I would certainly recommend speaking to Batman and Robin. I think you guys have a wealth of knowledge, and rightly so, that you need to guide people, because they're coming over. They're not used to the commercial aspects in, you know, Dubai. They think maybe it's similar to their own countries, and it's not. And there's a lot of information that you need to unravel, and hopefully you get someone that can unravel that. You guys got a wealth of info locked in your heads. Certainly we're talking about kind of commercial offices in that downtown space, Business Bay, JLT. So you guys are readily available to do that. If you have any questions, get in touch. Thanks ever so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Luke. Cheers.
Dubai. Dubai Real Estate Unplugged. Finding this information helpful? Share this episode with friends and family to help them in their property journey. To know more about us or to contact our property specialists, visit houseandhouse.com.